This show is part of the Head Stuff Podcast Network.
My name is Keane, and thanks for the memories.
My name is Erin, and I am going to be heaven.
You're listening to Sissy That Pod, your favorite RuPaul's Reaction Drag Race podcast. And today we are discussing season 15, episode 12. Well, has time flown so far? This is the Rusical. It's wig loose. Are you a fan of Footloose?
I am not.
Okay.
Goodbye. Thanks for having me.
I haven't seen it, but I want to see it because that Kenny Loggins song is such a banger.
Yeah. I think I maybe saw it once as a kid and was too young to be interested in it at all. I'm not a fan of it.
It's just us two this week, so let's get into it.
Hi, I'm Gerald Farrelly.
And I'm Niamh Kavanagh.
And we have been friends for a very long time.
And we regularly solve each other's problems. And now we'd like to solve yours in our podcast, Agony Rants.
It's a weekly show where we offer you unwavering support.
It's true. And it's the place to go if you need a place to vent or to get thoughtful advice.
It's a serious lawsuit waiting to happen.
Now, Gerald, there isn't a problem that can't be helped by having a comedian and a Eurovision winner dissected before your very ears. Agony Rants is 40 minutes with two friends who just want to listen to you.
Niamh wants to listen. I dip in and out.
Agony Rants has a new episode every Monday, and you'll find us wherever you do your listening.
There is a new episode of The Workroom out right now on the Sissy That Pod bonus feed, where Erin and I sit down and get our claws into season 2 of Secret Celebrity Drag Race.
Season 3, would you watch it?
Absolutely.
I think so too.
Yeah, it's great. Great show. And this is the first, I know there's the first season of it, but you know, that doesn't really count because this is a totally different format. But if it's this good the first time they've done it, and we know that World of Wonder is not afraid to like change up formats and like improve things and stuff, like, yeah.
As you can hear there, we both actually kind of dug it and look forward to another season. So here our full recap over on headstuffpodcasts.com. See you there. Okay, the episode opens up with Selena saying Marsha should have gone home ages ago. And then, let me see Mistress in her skinny era. And I was like, I just thought those two things were like out of characterly rude things for Selena to say.
Yeah, I feel like, but perhaps I'm biased towards Selena, but I feel like that was kind of shitty producing or editing. I don't know. Maybe she was like goaded into that. It was a bit rude and I feel bad for Marsha. Yeah. But it was coming from Selena, so maybe that kind of dampens the blow a bit. Like if it was Sasha saying that, it might be devastating. But
yes,
true. You know. And then the thin thing. So yeah, I mean that kind of what's the word I'm looking for? Spiked me for a moment. You know what I mean? That's not the word, but I think her also being a bigger queen, that would be something that they kind of joke about with each other. But yeah, just not a good look, obviously. But I don't know, her also being a bigger queen, I don't know.
Yeah, maybe. But yeah, I don't know. Like, I wouldn't say it was problematic now, but it just felt a bit rude. Like, I was kind of like, you know, why out of all the things, why would you choose that? Also, like, the I'm in my blank, blank, blank era has really ramped up this season. And even, like, my boyfriend sometimes says he's culturally straight because he doesn't understand a lot of these things. So I was trying to explain it to him where it came from and stuff like that. And when I had to explain it, I was like, God, this makes no sense at all. But, like, yeah, I'm kind of finished with it. It was fun for a while. I think we need to end this era of saying that expression. And,
yeah
I don't know.
It's also, if you kind of break down what it means, like, I get this sort of empowering aspect of it, which is like, you know what, I'm pointing my ship in this direction, I'm gonna be more whatever. And obviously they're not being totally literal when they're talking about this, but there's also kind of like a you know, it feels like the thing should be more like I'm digging down into who I am, as opposed to like, let me try on this new thing. I don't know if you wanted to like really dig into that, like now I'm in my top era, now I'm like a boss. Though I did appreciate when they were talking about eras and stuff, and everyone was laughing, having a great time. Everyone's having a great time because Lucy's finally won, so there's not this like anger in the air. And then Lucy drops like, "No, I'm in my winning era," and everyone's like, "Okay, she's still here. She's still insecure."
Lucy won me over in this week's episode, though. I felt bad for her in the allocation of the roles conversation, tête-à-tête.
Interesting.
So, like, I guess it's similar to, was it rap that they were all fighting over in the girl group challenge, or was it rock? I can't remember. But I don't know. Just,
metal,
there's,
I think.
Oh, was it? You're right, yeah, they were fighting over metal, yeah.
Which is funny. A bunch of drag queens fighting over metal.
Like, Mistress has a good amount of slap and tickle, and I think she just about gets away with it when she's being a bit rude.
Yeah.
Looks, though, it's all slap, no tickle. And I just think she rubbed me up the wrong way, her air of entitlement and, like, I don't know, condescension towards Lucy, such that, like, if you know, obviously Lucy can rub people up the wrong way herself, but I just kind of felt they weren't even like they had no respect for her, is what it came across as. They were like, you know, I'm gonna take this because I have more friends here than you do, is kind of how it came across to me, and I felt sorry for Lucy.
Yeah, I mean, Lex's attitude has always kind of rubbed me up the wrong way, which I think is a really funny turn of phrase. But I think this episode, I kind of like, I wouldn't go as far as to say that Lucy grew on me, but I feel like, and obviously this is just my own take, but I saw her a different way, which was, okay, this is somebody, especially like after her conversation with Selena about, you know, people making fun of how she sounded and then saying that like she was trying to please people. And I was like, oh, okay, I think this is somebody who does put on a false front, but is trying to put on a false front that people would like. And I think like I think everyone has found themselves in this position where it's like, okay, this is what you want from me. You want me to be this sort of way. And then when people don't like that, it's especially hurtful because it's not even really authentic to yourself. So you're like, I'm trying to be this way, to be likable, or in this case, to be respected as a great queen. I'm doing all these things so you also respect me, but it comes off as disingenuous, so everyone really dislikes it, which is even more painful for Lucy, and she's even more defensive. And in that conversation, I mean, I always think like when they're doing casting stuff amongst each other and anyone says like, I should be this role, that always rubs me in the wrong way. It's always a little lame. And I thought they were both obnoxious, and I do feel like they are starting to kind of bully Lucy a little bit.
Yeah, like her, like their justification for it was, oh well, Lucy thinks she deserves this because she wants the biggest role because she wants to win. And it's like, well, don't you all want to win?
I know. Don't you think? Well, they were annoyed that she wasn't just saying, I want this because it's the biggest role. Right. Like they were annoyed, or at least what they said. I don't know if this is actually true, but what Lex was saying was like, keep it 100. You just want the biggest role. And whether or not that's true, they were annoyed at her about that. I think they also got annoyed at Lucy saying like, oh, no, the energy is just like me. She's nice. She's and they're all like, huh?
Well, I guess we can't compare it. Like at that point, we don't know what the characters are. So we don't know. We're taking their word for it, whether it's true or not. I mean, ultimately, I think she did a good job on the role, so maybe it was similar to her, but they were also trying to put her onto Tuck, which Selena got, I think, which was the kind of country cowboy.
Right.
Which I guess would have fit. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I think Lex would have done great in that role as well. But I always find it strange that the when the queens fight for the ingenue role, which technically is like the biggest role or the protagonist of the Rusical, but it's always kind of just the most wide-eyed, untextured role. Like, I think, yeah, like Lucy did well at it, but it's kind of boring in a way because you're the audience's point of view. And so you're just kind of wide eyed and, yeah.
Well, for me, like, from the outside, it felt like Carl was the winning role. Mm. Like, normally it's this, you know, small-ish slot that comes in about three quarters of the way in that steals the show. I'm thinking of Willow Pill as that green Kylie Minogue angel in Moulin Rouge. I'm thinking of Denali and Gottmik as the Russian bots in the social media musical. Like, it's often that's those smaller roles that take it. So I think, you know, just because you want the bigger role doesn't mean you're actually going to win. So, like, maybe that's flawed logic from Lucy or it's flawed logic from Mistress and Lux. But yeah, I don't know. That does feel like the smaller roles win.
Yeah, for sure.
Do we get into the actual performance now of Wig Loose? I watched it and it was really hard to see who was going to be in the bottom. Like, everyone did such a good job.
Yeah, everyone did so great. Like, I loved how in the rehearsal footage, they're like trying to make it seem like someone's really going to fall on their ass. But yeah, it was incredible. Also, like, that was my favorite, like, Rusical on paper, I think. Like, it was the most musical-like because it was about an actual issue. So it had, like, actual, like, real touching moments and then was also very funny at the same time.
Like, I kind of got, not annoyed, but I kind of felt it was a shame at the start that, like, they kind of didn't really address everything that's obviously happening now, which obviously they can because that hadn't happened yet. But obviously the roots of it had already begun with the anti-trans rhetoric that had started the anti-drag rhetoric. So it happened to just be very poignant for a world where you're not allowed to do drag. And then I think after, or it was during the walk show or a bit afterwards, you know, I think Ross Matthews says it and they do kind of tie it into more modern day stuff. And I was happy with that. But at the start, I was like, oh, I'd love to be able to tie this in more to nowadays stuff. So yeah, I thought it was really good. I guess if you've only seen it once, you don't remember whether the songs like directly mapped on the songs from Footloose. Did you read it?
No, I mean, the only song I know from Footloose is Footloose.
me too.
Like, is Footloose a musical? Like, I know, like, John Lithgow doesn't like sing a song, does he? I don't actually know if it is a musical. I also want to like point out, like, when they were rehearsing, the moment where Mistress is holding Lux's coat and finds the security tag on it, and Lux says, "I didn't steal it, I swear, it was the worker." So funny. And I know that's happened to me before, where I've walked out of a store and the security tag has still been on it, but I've never left it on. I've always like cut it out.
But does ink not come out of it then? No.
Well, you have to like cut the garment.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's why it's around. Okay. No, because the songs I heard, I felt they mapped to other 80s songs that I didn't associate with the movie. Mm. Like, I felt that first song that Mistress did as Preacher Teacher was kind of like a knockoff of Small Town Boy. And then the one that Anitra did, I think, was very like Borderline by Madonna. And then obviously when the characters get up and drag for the first time, like Lucy, I think it's supposed to be like Cyndi Lauper, and Lux is supposed to be Madonna, and Selena is Whitney. And then I guess Anitra or Sasha is Patti LaBelle, I guess, from like the pearls and everything like that and the performance. So yeah, I was trying to see what I mapped towards. Who do you think did the best in it?
I'd agree with the judges and say Anitra, but I think it also comes down to like what moments everyone got. But I did think that the way that lip sync was done was super powerful and owned. I also was really impressed by Selena. Like, I thought Selena brought a lot to that part and was really funny, and
I think she did a good job. I thought Sasha did a really good job.
Like, oh yeah,
to see her transform into Carl like this kind of nerdy guy who then when he turned around had like this big booty. So not what you expect for that character.
It seemed like she was trying to like tuck in her ass a bit or like kind of like stand in a way where that wasn't prominently. But it's like, no, you can't hide that gorgeous peach.
Yeah, it was. It's like an accountant with a bubble butt. It's just not what you're expecting, you know?
Yeah. It was good. It's like, I know exactly who this person is, who this character is. Yeah.
Yeah. And again, like, such a juxtaposition to, like, her Empress in drag persona. And then, like, did such a good job when she came out of drag that in that lip sync. Like, she just really served it. So I thought she did a really good job, too.
Yeah.
If I had to choose two people to be in the bottom, I probably would have chosen Mistress and Lux, not because they were bad. I just felt I remembered them I just had the fewest good things to say about them purely based on their performance, because they all did really good.
I was watching it and I was like, because sometimes I'll watch Drag Race and I will, like, whether it's a maxi challenge or a runway, and I alone in my living room will be like, oh my god, well, this was perfect. I didn't see a single thing wrong with us. So I was watching the Rusical and I was like, is this going to be one of those times where, like, I think this is amazing, but then it's pointed out to me, like, why it's not.
Yeah.
I was having a hard time figuring out who would be, you know, actually, okay, the person, if I had to choose, like, my least favorite, it would have been Lucy. And not because I think that she did bad at all. This is such a small thing, but she had this like blue sticker on her cheek and I hated that. That's how nitpicky I would get. That's how nitpicky I'd have to get. Like, I didn't like that blue sticker.
Wait, was it when she was in boy drag or girl drag?
Boy drag. It was like this little blue sticker or gem or something, or maybe it was just something stuck to my television, but like it looked like I just didn't get it. And and maybe that wasn't even her choice, but I don't know. Like, she just played it so Disney wide-eyed that I think she could have done a bit more, maybe.
It definitely was Disney wide. I got a lot of Zac Efron from High School Musical off the performance. But I thought, like, I thought it was, you know, confident and assuring, and I felt like she had good stage presence and stuff like that, and she was a good main character that would shepherd us through the story, I think.
Absolutely. I mean, this is just the nitpickiness after, like, a really excellent musical.
Blue sticker or not aside. The opening number from Mistress as well, the preacher teacher number, I thought that was good, but again, I compared to the other sort of solo numbers, I thought, you know, it could have probably been better. But overall, I guess the crux of this is very strong. Would you go back and watch it again?
I have. Yeah, I watched it yesterday, and then I watched again twice this morning. I was like, I really like this.
Okay. Yeah. No, I think I should go back and watch it again. After the Rusical, then we kind of have a moment about Sasha's mum, or was that during the walkthrough, actually, with Rue?
Yeah.
A moment with Sasha's mum.
Yeah, that was the first time I cried in this episode. I cried 5 times in the episode. Yep.
So yeah. One was Sasha's mum, one was Anitra at DragCon. Number 3 was Anitra in the performance.
Yes, great call. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Number 4 was Selena on the main stage.
Well, I guess I'm cheating slightly. The last two were actually from Untucked.
Okay. But there was some really nice moments like that, like hearing Anitra's story about DragCon and like how much it meant to her, and just was so nice to hear how important that, like, you know, safe space was for her as a queer person.
God, it was so moving and so relatable. And I liked it when she was talking about being in the closet. I don't know if I've ever heard that be phrased in a way where, like, she said, like, being confined. So like, it's not just about like being in a closet where you're hiding yourself. You're confined to the closet and having to curate yourself in a certain way, which of course is what that means. But I thought that was a really great metaphor for that and very striking. Yeah.
Absolutely. I appreciated Selena as well. Again, talking about like compulsory heterosexuality and when they're talking about outlaw and drag and how they, you know, conservative people are saying that we are grooming them and their kids and stuff like that. But in reality, like heterosexual people are grooming us and forcing a Hillary Duff wallet onto Selena.
I know, like, that's
your girlfriend now. Like, I know. Regardless of the sexuality, like what a weird thing to say to a kid. Like, here's a picture of somebody, they're your girlfriend that, like, what?
I know. Or do you have any girlfriend? Yeah, and that stuff is so rampant. Like, you and I are probably in kind of bubbles a little bit. Me more than you, because I am not also an engineer. Or, you know, but yeah, that shit's so common and gross. Just immediately forcing the patriarchy on little boys and little girls is insanity.
That Hillary Duff wallet did sound good. I was kind of jealous. I would have liked it for myself, because I know Hillary Duff was like, I guess I was that age where like I was drawn towards her, and obviously being 12, like, or 13, like that in my head, the only logical reason for me being drawn towards it was obviously that I was like attracted to her or whatever. So like, I used to think I fancied her, but in reality I was just drawn towards a female pop star.
Yeah.
Which I think, you know.
Yeah. And was Lizzie McGuire a detective? What was Lizzie McGuire's deal?
Though she was just a girl, just navigating life and becoming a teenager and social awkward, you know, fancying boys and fighting with girls.
I don't know why in my head I thought she was also a detective, but it's been a while since I've seen Lizzie McGuire.
The Lizzie McGuire movie. No, that's worth sticking on. And then when you watch the performance in it, then you can watch Trisha Paytas' recreation of the performance.
Okay. Yes.
Cultural touchstones.
Trisha Paytas just recreates it on her channel?
Is that... Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
We've gone on too many Trisha Paytas like deep dives, and they always leave me feeling very sad. but no offense to Trish.
To Trish.
Yeah.
Okay. let's move on to the runway. The category is Everybody Say Glove.
If you want to check out the runway looks at drag.looks.
So Lucy's up first.
Yes, yeah. So she's wearing like an olive forest green swimsuit sort of situation with long Creature of the Black Lagoon gloves that have fins on them, webbed fingers, and then the waist of it is like the Creature of the Black Lagoon's gills. And then she's wearing like a jeweled necklace and matching earrings and like a strawberry blonde rose goldy wig. What did you think of this swimsuit?
I liked it. So I was at the point in my journey with Lucy on this episode where I'd gone for feeling bad for her, rooting for her. I think she did a really good job in the musical. Was kind of hoping for her to like win.
Really? Wow! What a 180.
Again,
I want to be where you are emotionally. Like, I don't hate her. I just, anyway, go on.
I think there's an element of me that, again, and I've said it before, because she's a gay in construction, I have this fundamental bond with her that I can't shake. So I was tapping into that. And then she came out in this look, which I think is fine. But the way she spoke about it made it sound like it was Gottmik's Swarovski look from the finale of season 13. That just pissed me off again. So I was like, okay. I'm still rooting for you, but just, you know, this is nice. It's not a 10 out of 10.
Yeah.
It was probably a bit small in terms of gloves. Like, I guess they're webbed gloves. But I think the idea could have been bigger.
I agree. Like, I think if the runway category was swimwear, this would have like killed it for me, because I do like the idea and I like the aesthetic of like the old monster movies, and the way that if you haven't seen, like, do you know what the Creature of the Black Lagoon looks like?
No.
If you Google a picture of it, like, it's very cool and strange looking. and is an iconic sort of look. So that would have been cool. But yeah, it went a bit more from it. And the wig doesn't make a lot of sense to me. And the makeup looks so sort of everyday drag that it looks like a Halloween costume, like a very well-made Halloween costume. But yeah, I wasn't knocked out by it.
Like, okay, I'm looking at the Creature of the Black Lagoon here, but even, you know, similar to the fish in the Shape of Water or whatever, like, it hasn't leaned in enough to monster to be monster.
I agree, yeah.
It's a bikini with gills and webbed hands.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think swimsuit works better for that. But
yeah.
Yeah. Like, I didn't hate it. It was good. Like, it's
I didn't hate it. But I'm also like, I'm constantly confused when queens are surprised they didn't win with a look that's essentially a swimsuit. You know, yes. It's like, it's just not enough to wow you. That's it. It's just like, just the basic fact that there's just not enough like material or look or yeah. I wish like the face sort of reflected the creature.
Yeah, she could have, like, made up some gills on her face or something like that. She really wanted to lean into ugly. And I guess she leaned into ugly last week with, you know, the vampire look, I suppose.
Yeah.
Now, to be fair to Lucy,
mm-hmm.
This isn't a winning look from Anitra either. But she won't because the maxi challenge.
Yeah, so Anitra is wearing a rave-inspired look. She's wearing, like, a full sheer stocking catsuit and a, like, vinyl, sort of, like, deep blue. What can I tell? Like, it's almost like a harness bikini top, which is kind of cool, and bikini bottoms and these like cobalt blue gloves, and she has rave lights on her hands, and she's wearing, again, like she's worn it before, like a sort of attaché thing on the side of her face, and this looks like it's like a spider.
Then like a neon-y blue wig kind of thing.
Yes, yeah, yeah, and it's very not fifth element, but
Mortal Kombat kind of thing.
Yeah, it's very Mortal Kombat.
When I saw this, I was reminded of Bosco. Do you remember Bosco would kind of come out with something which was like a bra or a bikini or like a corset, and there was a different spin on it, and like people got fed up with it and gave out to her about it. This kind of gave me that as well, which is like, you know, relying on body, and you know, it's a bikini with chains and gloves, and she looks good, but again, it's not a winning costume.
It's very sci-fi go-go girl. I like it, but yeah, I'm not wowed by it. I was realizing this episode, like, maybe I just don't love Anitra's runway looks.
Didn't she make that dress that we loved that had like the spine on it, like,
oh,
the,
yes, that was incredible. She's able to do like these big things. It seems like she's always dressing for lip syncing for her life.
Exactly. But, yeah, this looks like a girl group challenge look. You can see this, like, you know, so yeah, look at those, she looks good, but it wasn't, I kind of was like, at this stage now I think you need to be pulling out bigger things, but
and it looks quite similar to other things.
Now
this was unreal. So Mistress is wearing a tight floor length mermaid silhouette gown with massive puff sleeves that are cut that go into the gloves, so it's almost like the puff sleeves are also the gloves, and it's gold and yellow. There's like an art deco pattern down the front, and she's got a big Dolly Parton-esque wig. Maybe Dolly Parton is the wrong reference, but she looks unbelievable. This is an unbelievable look.
Yeah, this is really high quality. This is what you're expecting from like a look queen, all right? And the ruffle detail on her shoulders, they kind of just look like two massive scrunchies almost that her hands are coming out of.
Yeah.
It gives you the opulence that you want. Like if you're thinking gloves, you need to go gloves OTT. And this did that.
It gives like super dragged up Belle from Beauty of the Beast, maybe like at Belle's wedding, like Belle's mom returns, like comes back from the dead, and this is what she comes wearing for the wedding. Yeah, it's unbelievable. Like, I'm so curious. I wish we knew like who the teams were behind some of the queens, like the designers. That information is probably available somewhere. I just haven't looked.
In terms of like, it's always, again, you know, we discuss a lot, it's very difficult, or it, I mean, it shouldn't be, but bigger queens have a difficult time on the runway typically because they're held to skinny people body standards or whatever, and looks and fashion.
Well, and it's harder to dress a bigger body and to give yourself shape. Like, it just is harder. Yeah, not impossible. I'm just saying, as someone who's been all different sizes, I'm speaking from experience here.
But what are the queens who's kind of known for being a fashion queen despite the disadvantage she has because of her body is Eureka. Do you think Mistress has outdone Eureka when it comes to looks?
Fashion wise, yeah. Like, I like that Eureka always has a comedic spin on everything. But yeah, I think Mistress is bringing something different to the table, and, you know, is showing that, like, having not, I mean, the difference is like having a clothes hanger body where you can kind of just put anything on it and you don't have to think about shape or whatever, because having a bigger body doesn't have to be a disadvantage. It could be a massive advantage, and Mistress is showing that. She's worn all these different sorts of silhouettes, and I'm sure is inspiring people who are bigger across the globe to be like, yeah, but like, that looks sexy as hell. Like, I can, yeah, I don't know. It's great. And it is just, yeah, it is just fashion.
100%. And also, I think I remember Eureka saying after All-Stars 6 that she's an inherent disadvantage as well because they all get the same amount of bags, and by nature of her just being a bigger person. Like, Eureka's also, what, 6 foot tall as well.
So, oh, like, yes. God, I love Eureka so much.
Like, she just has more material and she can't fit as much variety into a suitcase that, you know, looks Noir London probably could. So that is another disadvantage, I guess.
That is crazy. But yeah, just let them have more bags.
Yeah. Speaking of looks, Lux is up next. And her take on gloves was plaster Paris casts.
Yeah. So Lux is coming out looking like everyone I went to high school with that, like, did ecstasy. Like, it's a sort of trip hop, Hot Topic rave look. So we have like a little crop top t-shirt and then arm casts on both arms. She had her friends sign them from home, and then she's wearing I forget what these are called. They're like oversized, they're not parachute pants, but they're parachute pants-esque, and they've got all the straps and stuff on them. So it's very much a rave early 2000s kind of look.
In my small town in Dublin, we used to call these UFOs.
Oh, okay. The pants UFOs?
The pants, yeah. Okay. So I guess they're like combat pants, but with strips hanging off them.
Right.
And okay. 2004 now was peak UFO. We'd go to our teen disco and we'd listen to, the song I always remember is, remember that song Tipsy by Jaquan? Everybody at the club getting tipsy. Yeah. That was my peak memory of these pants. And then the slow set would be to Britney Spears' Every Time. That's my core teenage memory surrounding those pants. And all the girls were wearing those pants.
Yes.
And girls, if I'm being honest with myself, I wanted to wear the pants too, but I didn't feel like I could.
I always, like, I think this look is successful. I immediately just like flash back to like the kids who would wear this stuff in high school and really not being in with them, or because they all did drugs, and I was like such a goody two shoes that I was like, what's happening with these people? Like, who are these people?
Well, I guess I was a teenager, so I mean, there's probably less drugs when we were 14 or whatever.
But I'm also speaking about teenage time. Went to a big high school. There was a lot of room for people to be doing a lot of drugs. I went to a public school, but it was like a very rich, big high school, so there were a lot of drugs.
Okay.
Yeah.
I guess for me, what, like, the people who wore those UFO pants for me weren't goths.
No, it's different. Yeah.
So that's kind of what confused me with this look, because the top is really goth, the hair is gothy.
Mm-hmm.
The lace detail up the t-shirt's very gothy, but then the pants for me are very, you know, hun. I don't know if I would call it. I don't know what, like, mainstream girly. And then the boots, the platform boots. Then
yeah, the platform
throw it off.
Boots don't make sense. Yeah, to me, this is just pure ecstasy culture. At least in America, like that's what these pants would be associated with for sure. And yeah, I agree. The skull and crossbones shirt is pretty inaccuristic to this whole look. Like the pants are giving me, well, though also, So I used to work at Hot Topic. Do you know what Hot Topic is?
Yeah.
So
I guess I've absorbed, people might not know, but it's like a gothy shop. I can't remember the name of the, there's a shop that's at the up on the top floor of the St. Stephen's Green Shopping Center, which is basically our equivalent of Hot Topic.
Right, yeah. So like when I worked at Hot Topic at the Westwood Mall in San Diego, it was, so like Hot Topic was not just goth, it was also punk and also rock and also metal, to the extent that like working there, when you came into work, hypothetically, you should have been able, you would have to identify what scene you were dressing in. And this would be like street scene, but it is also goth. Like the pants could also be goth, but it's like mixing a couple things together. I did get sent home once from work because I couldn't identify what scene I was dressing in. and to be fair, I like hadn't done laundry, and I just wore basically lingerie to work, and I was like, it's streetwear. Yeah.
It feels to me slightly as, and look, obviously American lens on this is totally different to from the time or what people were dressing as, whatever, in Dublin at the time. But this feels kind of like three different looks from the same, or three different items of clothing from the same era, but would not be worn by the same person. And I don't get, like, I also think it juxtaposes the fact that the gloves are the plaster Paris arms. Why did this woman break her arms? There's no story about that.
Yeah, she's, you're right. Yeah,
I didn't get that.
Yeah, I mean, she does. She walks down the runway so confidently and is so great at selling a look that, like, when it first came down, I immediately was like, don't love this because my own baggage with this look. but also, like, she was walking so confidently, I didn't even think about like the arm cast and how that doesn't really make sense. And now, like, the shoes are really bothering me because, like, that is not it at all. Yeah,
if it was a platform Converse, that would work. I know this didn't work for me. This is one of her few misses, I felt, for looks.
Yeah, I think they should be like platform Docks.
Or those like leather studded boots that people would wear as well. They would work. Selena was up next. Oh. I liked this.
Really? Okay. Why don't you explain it then?
Okay. Okay. She's wearing a
It's so funny that we're talking about Lux's look being anachronistic. Cut to this look. Go on.
She's wearing a bodysuit, which is pink and red and yellow and gold,
and it's got a face on it, which I only noticed when I saw it in black and white, but the boobs are eyes and there's a nose down the middle.
Yes.
And then the mouth is like over her pussy,
and it looks a bit like Mr. Blobby.
Oh yes.
Do you know Mr.? And then there is a sort of like black and red wig that's partially up, partially down, a thick gold chain necklace around her neck, and then she's wearing red latex boots and the gloves are long. They start like above her elbow, long, red, latexy lobster hands is what they look like to me.
Yeah, at first I thought it was a lobster look, and then you're like, oh no, they're just hands.
But for me, like, this is rave culture. Like, I could see somebody go to a rave like that, like, okay, whatever, maybe not with the lobster hands. Like, I could see that as like a sort of rave
festival look.
Yeah, look, and look, it's not overly fashionable, but I feel like she was able to portray a character. I could see Selena's character in this going to a like a warehouse rave in this look and having a good time. The hands also. Did you ever watch the Amanda Show? The Amanda Bynes.
Yes.
And she did like a sketch on Judge Judy, which is Judge Trudy, and at the end she'd say, "Bring in the dancing lobsters," and then like the lobster hands were very like what Selena was wearing. You didn't like this?
I was just really confused by it. Yeah, it's not. And look, I'm a massive Selena apologist. I don't feel like she made this. I don't know that she was like clear on what this meant.
I don't. I felt it was kind of unique.
It is. You know, maybe it's the way that she's styled her hair is confusing to me. Like it's giving kind of Latina Spice Girls in a fun way, but I don't know. Because it, you know, now that you say it, like it does look pop arty. Like it looks like it could be a piece of art. It's just, it's again, just so busy. And the color of the wig makes the whole palette seem like a little off to me or something. I don't know. And like, I think if you're going to have massive red gloves that are the exact color of lobster claws, why are they not lobster claws?
Yeah, that's a good question.
You know, like I think that it should be a different color.
Yeah, I think you're right with the hair. I think like a pussycat wig might have worked better with this. But again, I just like the pop art club kitty vibe to it, and I kind of like the fact that I feel like she could like kick my ass and beat me in a dance off at the same time. Like it's garish, but I think it's purposely garish.
Okay. All right. Well, I like it more now than
okay
I did before. Yeah.
And okay. Finally, then Sasha. This was really clever, I thought, making the garment out of baseball gloves.
Yeah. So it's almost like a baseball glove warrior look. Like she's got a one-armed baseball glove top that's like so brilliantly sewn together. I mean, how expensive was this? This must have been. I'm just talking about all my teenage jobs. My other teenage job was working at a sporting goods store called Big Five, and I know that those gloves are fucking expensive.
Yeah.
So she's got like the wrist guard, and then she also has the skirt. It looks like it's giving almost like Buffalo Bill, like kind of.
Yeah, I kind of got almost Native American off it. Like, not that that's a purposeful reference from her, but I think it's just like the mixture of animal hides in some Native American kind of dresses and stuff like that.
Yes, that too. But to clarify, I meant Buffalo Bill from like Silence of the Lambs, like sewing together human skin.
Oh, right. Oh, sorry.
But yours is way nicer. That's a much nicer reference than Serial Killer. Yeah. It does look. I get the Native American thing, and I like that the eye makeup kind of resembles black under eye makeup that baseball players wear, so the sun doesn't reflect in their eyes.
It's just great,
super clever. And I think like the best, I mean, glove, what was it, give us all the glove.
Everybody say glove.
So dumb. Like I think that's a difficult prompt to nail, because you know, gloves by just inherently are like are an accessory. So like Selena took it so literally, where it's like, okay, I have giant ass gloves. But yeah, making the whole outfit gloves is
clever.
100%. Very clever. Yeah.
I would say I am looking forward to seeing Sasha in a gown.
Yeah, has it been a while, or has she worn?
I don't know if I've ever, like, it's always been a look that is accentuating her body, which I always love. But I am looking forward to a gown at some point.
Yeah, she has a lot of, like, deconstructed, like, reimagined.
So, Anitra, well, I guess we don't know who wins at this point, but yeah, Anitra goes on to win. The judges basically compliment everybody and say who should go home and why. And they basically throw it on to the castmates in a cop-out. Yes. So Lucy's up first, she says...
in a cop-out.
Yeah. Because normally whoever's named in these ends up in the bottom two, irregardless of whether they're deserved to or not, typically. So,
yeah.
Lucy says Selena, Anitra says Selena, Mistress says Sasha because she's the biggest competition. Looks then, basically, and again, I was back on the sympathy for Lucy train with this one because she basically said why everybody was great and then was like, this is why Lucy isn't great, she should go home. Mm-hmm. And I just felt that wasn't necessary, that I felt that was an extra... knife in the back. She should have just said Lucy and moved on.
Yeah. I don't know. I have mixed feelings. I thought it was interesting. I was mostly like looking at the judges. I was like, are they enjoying this or are they? I mean, I get the sense that they really do favor queens, whether or not they're being nice or not, who seem to really just state what they want and who they are and how they feel. And obviously like that was impressive to them, even though they teased her for like talking so long. I thought it felt, I feel two ways about it. Like I agree that I thought it felt like overly cruel, but also I felt like it was kind of like preempting Lucy being like, why would you even name me? You know, like it was like giving this full thesis statement on Lucy. And to be honest, like by the time she got done explaining it, I kind of agreed with her. And I mean, the thing with Lucy is like, Lucy is so immensely talented, obviously all of them are. But Lucy is like so polished and is obviously like such a great performer, has such a great stage presence. Killed it in the comedy challenge, which I think is huge. And I would love to see her live. I think she's incredible live. But I think that there's some disconnect between like who she actually is and her stage persona. Like there's some like small bit of fear there when it comes to like being who she actually is. And she even kind of said it herself in this episode this week. Like Yeah, I think she doesn't know how much she's showing her ass, and she thinks that she has to kind of be something that she's not a little bit, but it's not working, which is why everyone's so annoyed with her.
Yeah, and like not open to criticism at all. Yeah, I just kind of felt that was an unnecessary pylon. I know Selena was upset similarly because Lucy said her name and Selena had been the shoulder to cry on earlier for Lucy in the episode. But in the same point of view, I was kind of like, she has to say somebody and she's not saying it because you're bad, she's just saying it's because of track record. I also feel Selena was right to be annoyed either.
Yeah. No, I kind of agree, but I also like, I felt like Lucy saying that was shitty in that Lucy has gone on and on about not feeling like she deserves to be second, not feeling like it goes back to that thing of like her so openly disagreeing with the judges' decisions. And then when asked, like, who do you think should go home? Like doesn't stand up for like what she actually thinks, presumably, and says Selena. And I agree with Selena that like the judges know who they voted for and they're asking, I don't know, like I get Anitra doing it, but I did think it was a bit like disingenuous for her to say Selena because I don't think she actually thinks that.
No, I don't think she wants Selena to go home. And to be honest, I was expecting Untucked to be better than it was because after this, I was like, God, they're going to tear strips off each other. And they kind of didn't.
No, I was kind of relieved, though, that it wasn't, like, insanity. But yeah, I get what you're saying.
And, like, there was a bit where Selena is kind of goading Lucy to be like, I know you don't want me to go home, I know you'd rather other people to go home, say who they are. And Lucy is like not budging on that, but she's like,
yeah,
basically say it's Lux or Mistress because they're the people you gave out to me earlier on about. So I guess Selena was like, felt like she was being insincere because she was like, you want those two to go home, but you're not saying them, you're saying me instead. Whereas I think Lucy was just trying to have it take ownership of the decision off herself and just say,
mm-hmm,
Selena should go home because of the track record. And also, like, Selena was going to go home this episode anyway. Like, I guess they can't feel the narrative hands at work in the room, but it was kind of obvious that I felt Selena was going to go home just based on track record at that point.
Yeah, I thought it was unnecessary for Selena to be so upset at that, and then to like also kind of try to stir up drama with her wanting other people to go home. But I think it would be, if I was in the competition, just based on what I'm saying, I would be annoyed at Lucy for playing the political game and then also being so messy backstage.
I don't think it's any less political than Mistress saying Sasha should go home because she's my biggest competition.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I suppose that's fair enough. It just didn't seem very courageous to me because I just don't...
I don't think it is either.
Yeah, like, I don't think that Lucy... Again, I hate that she has it both ways where she's annoyed when she's not in the top, and then when she is in the top, it's like, okay, well, of course I should be in the top.
Yeah.
I find that irritating.
And then Sasha says, Lucy Lux, whatever, I don't care. Which, I mean, that was my favorite response. I'm gonna win this shit anyway, so fucking send home whoever you want. You're not sending home me.
I appreciate that.
Anitra wins, deserved win, I think we were saying, like, a good performance. And I think after my theory last week about Anitra not making the final four, I think this has guaranteed her position there because she hadn't won anything since the first episode, so I think she's safe now to say I'll choose.
Can we talk about Lux heckling Lucy during the lip sync?
Yes, I was gonna get into it. So the lip sync was running up the hill to Kate Bush.
That was cunty and not a nice way. Yeah,
I that just hammered home this nastiness I think that's in mm-hmm. Lux. Mm-hmm. And I think she thinks she's being cute, like Mistress, but
mm-hmm. No,
that was mean.
No, it's a bit like, it's vitriolic. Like, I, you know, back to the beginning of the episode, like, I didn't think that Lux acted well there. I didn't go as far as to, like, feel sorry for Lucy because I thought, but, like, I think that, like, Mistress, like, there was a moment, I can't remember if it was, like, last episode or this episode or an Untucked where Mistress and Lucy had a moment where it's like, no, I do like you. Like, you know,
Yeah, because I think, again, I think Lux kind of goaded Mistress to be like, say who you don't fuck with. And then Mistress was like, Lucy. And then I think Mistress realized what she said and was like,
yeah, you don't fuck
actually,
with me?
I mean, I'm kind of joking. Like, I don't hate you. And
yeah. Mistress like realized like, oh, okay, this feels too personal. This seems like I actually disrespect you, which I don't. Like, I just like sparring with you. Whereas Lux, I think, is not really reading the room. And it's just like, oh, we all hate Lucy, right? And like Lux screamed, come on, Selena, eat her up, bitch. Like,
jeez, I didn't hear the actual word for word. Wow. Okay.
Yeah. I wrote that down. Yeah. She said two things. And obviously, like, they left that in. And I was just like, that's mean. Like, it's one thing to like cheer on Selena, which I think is still kind of shitty. But you know that Lucy is like, Lucy looked like she was tearing up when she was about to sing. It's also funny to tackle during the kick.
Running up there. Yeah.
What did you think of this lip sync?
I love that this song obviously was chosen because when it was filmed, it was obviously, you know, right at the cusp of the Stranger Things invention of this song. But it never really went anywhere.
No, they could have moved more to it. And God, the judges looked nonplussed as all hell.
Yeah.
Like, God, the look on Rue's face. Like, I kind of love when you can see when they're just like living for what they're seeing, like last week. And then this week was just like, okay, I guess you're both just going super
sincere. But also, what other way can you play it, really? Like, it's not a power ballad. So you can't, like, it doesn't have... It's a mid-tempo 80s synth song. Like, there's no highs and lows. It's an emotional journey. Mm-hmm. You can only really play it sincere.
Yeah, but yes, okay, yes. But I just think like I also think like the tone of what that song is about and what it's saying is like there's a sad tinge to it, but it's also like kind of empowering. And they both were kind of playing like just breaking down. I don't know. I just wanted them to move their bodies more, or at the very least, pretend to run.
Yeah. You wanted a running man, you know.
Yeah, or just like some. It just was so straightforward. And bless Selena for trying to make her slowly taking off her gloves mean something.
Yeah, it was a glove reveal. She had the same glove underneath, just in normal proportions.
yeah, but it felt like Lady Macbeth, like out damn spot, like staring at her new gloves. Or, yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, no, look, it wasn't great. But anyway, Selena sashays away. You know, sad to see her go. But I think based purely on runways alone, I think unfortunately she wasn't at the same level as some of the others. So
yeah.
But I think six is a very good spot for her. And I think like she has the personality and the charisma, you know. Like a Monet exchange, if she had better runways, she could take it on.
Yeah. And I think, like, I would love to see her on an All Stars. I think, like, after this, like, her drag will be so much more elevated. I think she just doesn't have the resources as the other queens. And, like, I think she needs to work with, if she's not making all her own stuff, like, she needs to work with a designer who, like, gets her more.
So that was the Rusical. It feels like we're being set up for either this week or next week a Lucy versus Lux lip sync for the final. Who will you be rooting for?
That's really tough.
I'll say now I'll be rooting for Lucy.
Yeah, I think like I think I'd agree. I think I'd say Lucy. Like I want good things for Lucy, but I also want her to like learn a lesson. But I also feel the same. I feel the same about Lux. Like, I appreciate, like, they really appreciate, the judges really appreciate just, like, how confident she is. And I think they like that she's younger and she didn't grow up, like, with as much baggage or something. But I don't know. Okay, well, it depends on the episode. I could see myself rooting for Lux and that I could see being eliminated being good for Lucy.
I think Lucy will be eliminated. I feel Lux has more of a Final Four girly edit to it all than Lucy does, I think, because of all the negativity. Next week's a makeover challenge, so that could really go any way, really. Like, it's very hard, like, just because you're a makeup artist, you might get somebody who's bad, or, you know, like, not, you know,
someone who's bad
bad at walking, or, you know,
right. I'd rather see Lucy in the finale. It would, okay. Yeah,
but I guess we'll have to find out next week. Thank you for listening. We'll be back next week. In the meantime, Erin and I were discussing Secret Celebrity Drag Race Season 2 over in the bonus feed.
Yeah.
So head over there if you watch it, or if you haven't watched it but you want to hear whether it was good or not and save yourself watching it. That's also what it's there for as well.
I run an alternative comedy theater in school called Mob Theater Dublin. If you are in Dublin or in Ireland, we have new awesome classes. We have an improv class coming up this week. We also have sketch writing and a TV writing class that you can take online. So go to mobtheater.ie if you want to meet other creative people and do comedy.
You could be writing the next Wig Loose.
You could.
Well, one email away.
And in the class I'll probably teach you why that's a bad idea to write that, but no, I'll encourage you, come and write Wig Loose 2 at mobtheater.ie.
Wig Loose 2 the streets. Yeah. Thank you for listening. We'll be back next week. See you, love you, bye.
This show is part of the Headstuff Podcast Network, a hub for the creative and the curious. Shows are produced in association with Headstuff and the Podcast Studios Dublin. Find out more or become a member at headstuffpodcasts.com.